Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, BuyerBarn.com. BuyerBarn.com is the world's first online platform for online sales and auctions of farm animals. That's BuyerBarn.com. Don't forget to follow Ask for Football on all social media platforms or sign up for our mailing list at askforfootball.com/subscribe.
Hey guys, and welcome back to the As for Football podcast. I'm going to host this week. My name is James. We also have Dan from Coastal Connecticut and Rob coming at you from Fayetteville, North Carolina. How are we doing, gentlemen?
Yo, man, crazy day. I was just telling you guys, daughter called sick, so I had to drive into Manhattan, pick her up, bring her home, throw her in bed. Missed the college football roundtable, which is a bummer, although this weekend was disappointing for me on the college football front. But we're making it. How about you?
I am doing well. It says here in the slides I'm on a secret mission with the U.S. Navy. Right now I'm on a secret mission to escape the noise of my house. So I am in a Panera parking lot at the moment. I guess this is life now. Rob, how are you?
I'm doing well. I am no longer limping because my joints are finally starting to recover from Saturday. So it's my favorite thing, and I'll talk about it at the end of the show. But I will tell you, if you have not gone to Disney and rode the Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind roller coaster, you are missing out because it is primo. And speaking of missing out, we do have a new sponsor for the show, and it is Buyer Barn. So if you have not checked them out, Buyer Barn is BuyerBarn.com. It's co-founded by a class of 97 graduate by the name of Dan Robinson. Dan ran a traditional farm co-op option for many years, and he realized that to modernize farm sales and bring it into the 21st century, it requires something different. Dan and his co-founder, Dinu, had taken their experience in IT management and development to build the world's first farm-to-farm online sales auction platform. So what Buyer Barn provides is a service that allows you to reduce health issues by preventing your animals from being in the 10 to 12 hours of both travel and in pens during auctions. It reduces animal frauds through a buyer and seller rating system. They have a fully integrated auction platform with secure payments, so you don't have to worry about, you know, hauling a whole bunch of cash to a show. It's convenient to buy and sell on your own time, and you get better market pricing because you get a much wider audience. So think about an eBay auction versus a yard sale. You're probably going to get a little bit better out of your money and out of your product that you're selling, in this case, animals, by having an online auction. Buyer Barn is dedicated to helping small farmers in America provide a opportunity to grow their farm. And they're also offering a special discount to military veterans. Keep in mind, this week is Veterans Day, so you can help a veteran out by checking out BuyerBarn.com. Go to BuyerBarn.com, BuyerBarn.com/military. That's the BuyerBarn.com website with the link, or check them out at info@BuyerBarn.com. Before we recap the football game, we're going to add something a little bit additional to the show, and Buyer Barn is going to start sponsoring the Buyer Barn Cow of the Week. So if you are not an Army fan or Army graduate, you know that we call cadets the cows, and those are the juniors. So juniors or rising seniors or second classmen, as they are also called, are called cows. And so this week we will pick a player off of their performance and kind of showcase them, and there'll be a graphic up on all the socials so you can see who they are. So this week's Buyer Barn Cow of the Week is Quindrell Hammonds. He had 10 tackles last week in the Air Force game. He sports number 26, and he is in the Army defensive backfield, and he is from Covina, Georgia. So he is the Buyer Barn Cow of the Week, one of the most impressive players in the contest against Air Force, which was interesting, and I will reserve my thoughts, but let's get back into the Air Force recap, James.
Well, before we go on, let me just two things about Buyer Barn. First off, we finally put up their links on the website. So if you can't remember how to spell Buyer Barn, go to askforfootball.com and look for their, you know, their little stickers there. You can click on that. That'll take you to their website. You can check it out. You've never seen an online animal auction, so you should totally just go check it out just to see one. And the other note is, I don't think his link, buyerbarn.com/military, I don't think that's up yet. So just go to their website until they get that thing worked out. But the website works. I have totally checked it out. I'm ready to buy a goat and eat it before the Navy game.
That sounds like a plan.
All right, so let's dive into the recap. We're not going to spend too much time this week on it. Big rivalry game. Everyone watched it. And honestly, it was kind of stale on both sides of the ball all game. So, you know, nobody wants to deep dive into a loss anyway, but especially not a stale one. Army loses 13-7. A lot of missed opportunities. Defense played really well. They held the number one rushing team in the country to just 226 yards, one touchdown, and a couple of field goals. Their star fullback, Brad Roberts, had 135 yards on 33 carries, just 4.1 yards per carry. That does seem like a lot, but for him, that's a pretty good hold for the defense. Ezeke Daniels, their quarterback, was only 6 for 13 passing with 98 yards and interception, so not great through the air, but he killed us on the ground with 89 yards and one touchdown on 14 carries. Daniels was ultimately what got their offense going, and our defense was sort of good enough to contain the initial Air Force attack, but when the pocket collapsed and there was a hole to be had, Daniels sort of found it, and that's what kept their offense at a more consistent rate, a more consistent flow than ours was throughout the course of the game. Defensive effort was good enough that, you know, Army had a chance to win it, which I know Dan and I have talked about this past week. The game plan was really to give us a chance to win it in the fourth quarter. It certainly gave us that opportunity, and our defense played well enough to get us there. Unfortunately, offense really didn't do a lot. Rush for just 78 yards. Not really a recipe for success when you're running the triple option. One TD on 35 carries. The one TD came on, I believe it was a five-play drive, two consecutive passes followed by three consecutive quarterback draws, sort of taking what the defense gave us, but then the defense didn't give it to us the rest of the game. So never really got that run going. QB draws were, ad nauseum. They were happening all game long. It seemed like every single play was either a QB power, a QB draw, or a fullback dive. And every once in a while, they would pepper in a pass. Jamel Jones took 21 of the team's 35 carries, and he went 4 for 14 with 67 yards and one interception in the air. Obviously, the one interception, can't really fault him too much. That was a desperation pass on that fourth down at the end of the game. Tyson Riley, our fullback, went had six carries for 20 yards. Jacoby Buchanan had 4 for 9 yards and one failed fourth down conversion. And then Tyre Tyler, who came in to play sort of at a weird triple option wildcat and took a couple of snaps, I think, but certainly was not a regular, did not have a regular appearance at quarterback. He had 3 carries for 14 yards, and that was probably the best on the team in terms of rushing. It was sort of a frustrating game. They sort of did everything they had to do. They kept the Air Force rushing attack in check, with the exception of a couple of Ezeke Daniel runs. Brad Roberts was in check sort of the whole game. They didn't turn the ball over until it was desperation time. The field position game was surprisingly successful. Punting was good for the first time all season long. And they lost because they got beaten at the line of scrimmage all game long. They got lucky on one drive. And then when it mattered at the end of the game, they couldn't get anything going. So it was just a frustrating situation that we had. It was probably the worst offensive performance we've seen since maybe Duke back in 2015. Navy last year was pretty disappointing too. Generally in triple option, head-to-heads, Service Academy head-to-heads, we sort of see this. But they 78 yards just ain't going to cut it. And it was a pretty historically bad performance. This is a team that rushed number two in the country coming into this game. Again, we said it going into the week. We'll keep saying it. Service Academy matchups, that's kind of what you're gonna see, and that's what we got. So we'll go to thoughts on the game. You want to start with Dan?
Yeah, man. They ran 35 times in this game. They ran the quarterback 24 of those times. At least 17 of those were quarterback draws. Maybe 4 of those worked, and of those, 2 of those 4 had Tyre Tyler under center. So it's just like, I just don't get it, man. I mean, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. I mean, I understand that that quarterback draw was working right at the end of the first half. But once Air Force adjusted, like, they were obviously expecting it. We couldn't do anything off that look to try to change it up. Like, I understand, you know, I'm a swimmer. I'm kind of an amateur statistician. So, like, the fundamentals of blocking and whatnot aren't exactly my specialty. But somebody is supposed to understand how to do something different in these situations. They made this Air Force defense look better than Wisconsin or Michigan, which is crazy. I mean, I understand that Air Force, like, is familiar with our offense. But you're just going to run the quarterback draw 17 times? Honestly, refuse to believe that this was our best offensive effort. Like, I just – there's no way. Somebody's going to have to explain it to me because I do not get what I saw. On the other side of the ball, outstanding performance from the defense. You know, this team's really good running the ball, and they did a good job shutting it down. So it's just a shame. I just don't get it.
Yeah. Why don't we go to Rob, and then I'll kind of respond.
Yeah. So two things. I went back and watched the game afterwards because I was walking around Disney most of the day and had everything blacked out, so I didn't get any social media or notifications on the game. But going back and watching it, it's like we talked about it over the show the last 2 weeks. And one of the things that made, you know, both the Colgate and the ULM games so exciting to watch was the fact that there was so much distribution of the ball. So, you know, you go into a game where you had two back-to-back games where five different players touched the ball and four of them scored touchdowns, which was amazing on both of those performances. And then you go into a rivalry game with an offense that has the potential to be a lot more wide open given the fact that your skill players are actually performing, and then you stick with the same play 24 times. Like, I find that hard to believe that that was a conscious decision that a coach made. And if it was, like, there really needs to be a discussion about, hey, guy, what are you thinking? You know, and I, of course, I'm not the boo birds on the offense, but it's like, holy moly, man, like 20, like it was torturous watching it back, you know, I'm fast forwarding through the game because it's like, I know what the outcome is, but even still, like there's no dynamics to the offense. And then again, it goes back to defensively, and it goes back to the previous discussion that we've had all season. If the offense is not producing and putting together those long drives, then you're asking the defense to defend a short field or worst case scenario, a long field throughout the entire course of the game. So it just makes it a lot more difficult. But I will pause there and pass it back to James because I do not want to start a rant.
Yeah. So Dan and I talked about this a little bit this past, I think it was on Saturday. You know, when you look at these Service Academy games, Service Academy teams' defenses are generally in the same spectrum, right? You have sometimes one of them's a little bit better than the others, but it's not like you have one Service Academy defense that's just hands down the best Service Academy defense and the other ones are left in the dust. They're all generally the same. And I think that is largely due to recruiting. But it's just, I think it's sort of a matter of fact. On the flip side, offenses, when you go back and you look at these CIC matchups, I can think of maybe two CIC matchups in the last, I don't know, 20 to 25 of them, where the team with the worst offensive line going into the game won the game. I think last year Army Navy was probably one of those times. Although in terms of actual performance in that game, Navy's offensive line certainly did better. But generally speaking, the better offensive line going into the game means that you win. Again, I think that has to do a lot with recruiting. It's a harder unit to recruit. There's more spots, there's less supply, and so that's where it comes into. But if you know, like going into the Air Force game, that you have the sort of more junior offensive line, you know you're going to have to do something. And if the answer is, well, we're going to keep it close to the fourth quarter, into the fourth quarter, and then we're going to start taking shots. Well, your shots better be pretty freaking good. Otherwise, you need a different game plan than we're going to run QB powers and fullback dives the entire or quarterback draws the entire time until the fourth quarter. And then we get to the fourth quarter and we might try a couple passes and some more, QB draws. So they do it every time. Every Service Academy does it in these games. So I know there's gotta be a decent reason, but it's getting pretty stale and boring to watch and unbearable in losses and kind of, as I put out, exciting in wins only because you're winning a rivalry game and sort of for no other reason. So that was my two cents. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts or we can move on to fact or fiction review.
Let's put this to bed. Burn the game tape. I mean, I understand that the players and the coaches have to look at it again, but I never want to. Putting this together after the fact was torture enough.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, let's move on to fact or fiction in review. Last week, Dan said Army holds Brad Roberts to less than 4.5 yards per carry. Fact agreement, and that was a fact. Rob said Army gets 2.5 sacks this week. Fact agreement, that was fiction. One sack with 6 TFLs. There was an Andre Carter TFL that, you know, a couple of them that, you know, he might have no longer been established as a passer and could have been called a sack. Ultimately, in the stats, they weren't. But that ended up being a fiction. We will go to our commercial. Dan, would you like to read this one for Craig Oxane?
You know, I would. Guys, ladies, Craig Oxane is the vice president of residential lending for Draper and Kramer in Chicago. He is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, based out of Chicago. Friends, Craig is one of the largest VA lenders in the country. He offers super competitive rates, which I don't know if you noticed, but you kind of need that right now. He's going to do the best he can to give you the best deal he possibly can. And that is important because the mortgage process is super confusing. Interest rates are moving all over the place right now. Now is not the time to try to make a deal with some clown that you don't know because you're trying to shave, you know, 0.1% off whatever this or that. Like, go to someone who cares about you, who is a person that you can call on the phone, not a call center, not a random big box bank, not a mindless website. Go to Craig Oxane. This is how the West Point network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at As for Football, and we're helping you to get a better deal on your mortgage by introducing you to the only honest man doing mortgages in America. And that's Craig. And it helps, you know, Craig doesn't charge lenders fees for veterans. That's a huge savings, maybe $1,300 depending on the size of your mortgage. Like, if that's not a lot of money to you, I don't even know how to help you. I understand they're going to roll that into your mortgage, but yo, save yourself $1,300 over the course of 30 years. Craig Oxane, Vice President, Residential Lending. Check him out. Link's on our website. Go to asforfootball.com. You can find it. It is not difficult. And that's all I got to say about that.
All right. Thanks, Dan. So moving forward, if Army wants to go to a bowl, they need to win out. They want to go to the Independence Bowl this year. There is a tiny, tiny sliver of a chance they can go if they lose one more game. But essentially, they got to win out. And that starts this weekend playing Troy at Troy. Troy's super interesting. They're a good team this year. They're 7-2 and 5-1 in the Sun Belt. They're in the West Division. I'll run you through their schedule real quick. They've won their last 6 straight. They lost to Ole Miss 28-10, who's I don't know if they're a top 10 team in the new rankings or not, but if not, they're close. They beat FCS Alabama A&M. They then lost to App State 32-28. Then they went on to beat Marshall 16-7. They beat Western Kentucky 34-27, beat Southern Miss 27-10, beat Texas State 17-14, beat South Alabama 10-6, and then beat Louisiana 23-17. So sort of all over the map in terms of scores. Dan, why don't you take us through the offense?
Yeah, bottom line, this is kind of like a pass-happy offense that seems to play up or down to the level of their competition. And the ultimate example of that is their win over South Alabama, 10-6. South Alabama has one of the highest-powered offenses in the group of five. So quarterback Gunnar Watson is 147 of 232 passing for almost 2,000 yards. That's 63%. He's got 8 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and he's taken 22 sacks, which is a lot. He's also got 37 carries for a lot of minus yardage with all those sacks, plus 2 rushing touchdowns. So I guess the dude will take off given the right situation, but it's a little hard to tell exactly how good he is running the football. Although 22 sacks, like, that's an unprecedented number of sacks. Running backs, DK Billingsley and Kamani Vidal, averaging both about 4.5 yards a carry. But the team only rushes for about 98 yards per game, 98-99. Wide receiver Tez Johnson leads the team with 34 catches for 612 yards and 3 touchdowns. Overall, though, 4 of their top 6 wide receivers average at least 14 yards per catch. So these guys can be explosive, but, you know, they're not, like, particularly consistent. They punt a lot, They're converting just 33% of their third downs, which is 111th in the country nationally, and 55% of their fourth downs, which is okay. That's good for 55th. But they've only attempted 24th down conversions all year. Like, this team is perfectly content to punt and play defense. They'll play field position with you all day because they're going to do what they have to do to win on offense, but they're perfectly content to win on defense on the field.
Yeah, sounds good. And we'll move to defense with Rob here in a second. Remember, this is a defense who is coached by defensive coordinator Shiel Wood, who last year was Army's safeties and co-defensive coordinator. So maybe Rob, in your rundown, you can talk about how having someone who's real familiar with the triple option and stuff like that might affect their game plan.
Yeah, so we'll start with that. So one of the things that it does is it forces, particularly a team that's good against the pass, to change the way that they play potentially depending upon the scheme that they run. I'll have to double check and see. I think they're a 3-4 type defense. And if you have a 3-4 against a running defense or a running offense, that's a halfway decent setup, but it definitely sets you up for more flexibility against the pass. And so having those two outside linebackers that are athletic kind of change the scheme of your defense. And if you look at the way that some teams play a 3-4, it's usually more like a 5-2 with two drop ends, and those drop ends are actually outside linebackers. So it'll be interesting to see what changes they make to do that. One of the difficult things about playing against a triple option, which we all know, is it's hard to practice against it because you really don't have the execution in the scheme, just because most teams do not run anything remotely close to run type or blocking in those schemes. But the other part of it is it forces you to really evaluate your assignments in football, because sometimes being able to free flow through the ball helps the linebackers and the defensive backs, but you have to play assignment football when playing the triple option. And if your team is not used to that, it also changes it. But having a coach that understands the offense allows them to kind of at least pre-scheme that early in the season. And then they can just do, like, at the end of the day or the end of practice, run a couple reps to get people used to getting against that. And by the time they get this deep into the season, week 11, they will have a better chance of being successful against it. However, talking about the stats just in general, this defense is pretty stacked. They're 21st ranked rushing defense in the nation. They allow 113.1 yards per game. That's 3.3 yards per carry. That seems like it's bad, but when you really think about it, they've only given up 10 rushing touchdowns all season. They're very good against the pass. They've only allowed 216 passing yards a game, but that number is a little bit deceptive. But when you look at the number of sacks that they have 27 sacks, 8 interceptions, 27 passes defense, 8 forced fumbles, and 5 recoveries. So these guys are ball hawks. I mean, passes defended, fumble recovers, and interceptions tell you that they are getting to the quarterback and causing a whole lot of havoc when they get back there. The players to watch, you have a linebacker named Carton Marshall. He has 84 tackles, 37 solos, an interception, and half a sack. Safety TJ Harris has 46 tackles, 24 solos, 4 sacks, 4 passes defense. And their defensive end TJ Jackson has 6.5 sacks. Bottom line is these guys are really solid. They force, 6 to 8 punts per game. So this is going to be a defensive struggle. And again, I hope this doesn't turn into it, but it's in my notes a little bit later in the show. But I think this may be one of those games where whoever has the ball last is probably going to win it, because they're at least be in position to win it if it boils down to that. But I'll pass it over to James for
special. Yeah, well, I got special teams real quick. Kicker Brooks Buse, I think that's how you pronounce it, is 23-24 on PATs. And 12-14 on field goals, both misses coming from beyond the 30-yard mark. Punter Mike Rivers averaging a little over 40 yards a punt. Moving to thoughts of the game, one thing before we get started that I'll mention is that this is a team that before the game this year announced a future 4-game series with Army. So now it's going to be 6 of the next 11 years Army is going to play Troy. So this is a team that we should try to take notes on, because we're going to see them certainly in the future. I wonder how much this year's game ticket sales had to do with that. But anyway, we'll move on to thoughts. We'll start with Dan.
I really think that this is a good matchup for Army. I mean, Troy is a good team, and certainly they've been way more consistent than the Black Knights this season. But Army can absolutely win if they avoid turnovers, stay on schedule, and convert third downs, and don't get beat deep. You know, this this team is allowing something like 45% conversions on third down, which is really terrible. So they get after the quarterback and they get all those sacks, and obviously they're good against the run in general, but in those short yardage situations, not as much. So there's like an area there for Army to just grind it out with these 3 to 4 yard fullback dives, especially against a team that really attacks. You can usually get the fullback dive up as they're like charging in. You know, of course, that is if they don't like run blitz the mesh point every time. And I'll also say if Army starts trying to throw, like this defense is going to eat them up. So Army, if they can stay on schedule, they have a good chance to convert third downs and stay on the field. But, you know, that's all it is. You know, if they turn the ball over, if they get beat deep, then we're in some trouble.
Yeah, so I'm going to go back to the previous point, and I've talked about this after just about every Army loss this season, unfortunately. And it's the number of plays on the field for the defense, right? They had 66 plays against Air Force, and the wins this season, they had under 50 plays on the field. So it goes back to getting off the field. So if the Army defense can make that happen, much better opportunity to win the game. And again, I think, like I said, this is going to be a defensive struggle. It's probably going to be ugly. Hopefully attitudes don't get involved, because I think really where the team is, they have to win everything. And so there's nothing to get in the way to try and go 1-0 every week. You know what I mean? And so they have the opportunity to just continue to roll, or they can just curl up and die. I hope that they don't do that. I mean, the season is by far and away not over. There's still some things that they can do. But again, I want to see on offense more ball distribution. I mean, I think that's what killed him. Like, he had two great weeks of spreading the ball around and everybody touching it and everybody moving the ball. And then you go 24 straight quarterback powers, man. Like, that's something that I would expect to see in like a Pop Warner team or like a flag football team at the church league, because you've got one super athlete and the guy's able to get loose. So I'd like to see a change in the offense, not for any other reason than the ball distribution has been working. And I think I also would want to see them integrate that fullback power that they ran against ULM, because I think that's a solid play as well. Plus, it gives them a little bit more reaction time if they are crashing on the defensive line.
I couldn't believe they didn't do that against Air Force. I kept waiting for them to whip that thing out. And, you know, it's like, okay, they're getting penetration. I get it. Anyway, enough said.
Yeah. I think really – you know, the key to having a dynamic offense is having a dynamic offense. It's not having a dynamic player and hoping that they break loose. And I think that's really ultimately what we need to see in this game. But those are my thoughts on the game.
Yeah, I'll add, you know, one of the things about ULM is they established perimeter running early, which opened up that fullback dive late in big situations. Obviously, they were up by a lot more, but when it was 3rd and 4, they could sort of more reliably trust the fullback dive on 2 consecutive plays to get them the first, because the defense was a lot more concerned about the perimeter. So getting back to that, we've discussed it in Service Academy games. It's different, but this isn't a Service Academy game. So let's see a return to the normal, and hopefully the offense can get going again. We'll do fact or fiction.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
Fact or fiction, this game sees at least 12 total punts. Rob.
Fact.
Yeah. James.
6 from either side. I'm going to say fiction. I don't think there were that many in the ULM game, so I'm going to hope fiction.
I don't think there were that many in the ULM game either, but these guys, Troy, have been in multiple games this season where they have had 15 or even more punts. So I think we might see our punter get some work, but who knows?
Yeah, hopefully. I guess I'm hoping our offense strings things out a little bit longer and keeps that clock ticking, but we'll see. Rob?
Yeah, so I have Leo Lowen gets 4-plus tackles this game. I mean, he's been stacking them up all season, and I think his low for the season is 4 in a game, so I think he's going to get 4 tackles in a defensive struggle, but he's going to be the standout player.
I mean, I would have taken this at three times the number. I would have said 12. I mean, who knows? 12 is reasonable. 10, I think, is kind of the minimal that I would expect. So I emphatically will say fact to that.
I will also say fact to that.
All right, James, that leaves you.
All right. I am going to go that Army turns the ball over fewer than two times.
Jeez, you guys are super ultra pessimists. I'll definitely take fact on that. Let's play for zero turnovers. Holy crap. If they turn it over twice, we're screwed. By the way, as long as I'm thinking about it, you, Troy, also -2 on turnover margin. It's crazy that they're 7-2 and -2 on turnover margin.
Well, they turn the ball over quite a bit, but they also pick up a decent amount of turnovers, which is why I think fewer than two is a pretty hard line. Rob?
Yeah, I'm gonna say, because I think they're gonna have ball security. I think they'll be a lot more aggressive this week, hopefully on offense, but I think securing the ball is going to be, you know, there's something about those rivalry games that make people have fumble fingers. I mean, we've seen it how many times in the Service Academy rivalries with the first series on both sides where they fumble and turn the ball over, give it to the other team. So I think that's well within the parameters if this was another Service Academy game. But I think they're going to work on ball security this week, and they actually have the rep of playing a game rather than a bye week. So I think they're going to hold on to it. So.
Fact. Yeah, I'll go fact as well. I think the only way we hit two is if we're throwing a lot. I think we could pick up an interception. I think this year Army's, you know, sort of on and off. They might fumble the ball once a game. So if they get that that fumble and then they end up having to throw the ball a lot because it's late, they might pick up a second or an interception. But I think they'll be better than that. I think our offense will look a lot better than it did last week. So I'm going to go fact fewer than two. I'll hit the mailing list real quick. I won't give you the full thing, but it's one email, everything you need for Army football. I get dozens of emails a day that I don't need to look at. And this is one that you definitely do. It's hard to keep up with everything. You have a busy life and there's new articles coming out, new podcasts coming out from Master Football all week long. We'll do special stuff sometimes. There's all kinds of cool stuff coming out of the website and our podcasts. Hard to keep track of it all. So one email every week, not going to clog up your inbox, and it's got everything you know need to know to be dangerous come Saturday morning. So go ahead to askfootball.com/subscribe. Throw your email in there and you'll have everything you can be an Army football super fan. Favorite thing, I have one. Rob, you want to do yours first?
Yeah, so my favorite thing was, and I mentioned it to Dan, but I didn't tell it to the rest of the group. So we went to Disney this weekend to run the Wine and Dine 10K, and the announcer was like, hey, look, if you set a personal record for running a 10K at a Disney race, you're doing it wrong, unless you're me. Because I did not really do any type of training or anything else. And I felt bad for my wife because she was dragging me through this race, which we both finished. And I'm now a 10K completist. But it was pretty fun. And the cool part was, you know, going into the park afterward and trying to enjoy the food and wine at the festival as you limp from station to station in the World Showcase.
Well, you get to do drinks around the world. I've never done a 10K before that. I'd rather just do the drinks, but good on you for getting out there, man. My favorite thing this week, I have started using the CBS Sports app instead of the ESPN app to track games. I don't know if I'm like late to the game on this or whether I'm finding this out, but man, ESPN this season has been absolutely brutal. Their play-by-play on games is not only behind, but often wrong, confusing, misleading. Moved on over to CBS Sports. Interface is a little bit, you know, harder to learn. Super easy to navigate between sports. But if you want minute-by-minute, you know, up-to-date play-by-play in a game without tuning to it on your TV, CBS Sports app is the way to go. So that's something I've learned over the last 2 weeks. Wanted to share. So that's my favorite thing. Dan, do you have one or are you good?
No, man. My only thing is we got to beat Troy, and I think that they will beat Troy. But if they don't, we're going to be down to the one game season, which I freaking hate. So don't do that. Let's beat Troy. Let's get back on the good foot. Like, I no more bad football. I can't take it. Let's have some good damn football.
Hey, 1-0 this week.
1-0 this week.
Beat the Trojans.
For sure. Yes. Beat them.
Thanks for listening to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Tune in next week as Ask for Football brings you more Army football analysis. We'd like to thank our sponsor, FireBarn.com. FireBarn is the world's first online platform for auctions and sales of farm animals. FireBarn is dedicated to helping small farmers in America and has extended special discounts to military veterans who want to continue the growth of the small farming industry. Go to FireBarn.com/military. That's FireBarn, FireBarn.com to learn more or to get started, email them at info@firebarn.com. Thanks again for listening to the Army Football Show. And as always, beat Navy.